We're rolling.
This is your shambling Dr. Tar.
This is Professor Feather.
This is the Midnight Snowball Gadfly.
This is Dr. Double Tap Head. And you are experiencing...
Insane Radio.
Right, ladies and gentlemen.
It's done. Shortest episode ever. We're out.
Yeah.
Good job, guys. High five.
Some padding. This show is all padding.
This is what we should tell you. This is our recommendation for Zombieland. We end it right away. What have you guys been watching? All right, this week we should have stuck with Pumpkinhead, but instead I made the crew watch Zombieland 2009. Starring Jesse Eisenberg, Woody Harrelson, Emma Stone, with a cameo by a very short cameo by Bill Murray, and that's pretty much it, right? I don't know who's the other young lady. I can't remember what her name is. I'll have to look it up. But
Lisa Barbeauty.
Yeah. So this is a movie
daughter.
Typical movie that has, you know, about zombies, the zombie apocalypse, and we're following some survivors. You know, nothing terribly original about it. The only thing that was mildly amusing, I think, when I first saw it, I remember liking this movie. I went to the theater to see it, and I think I liked it
the first time I saw it.
Yeah, I'm more susceptible if I see something in a theater to liking it than I am if I'm not, you know, because I paid all that money, I'm almost forcing myself to like it.
So, you better be good, goddammit.
But basically, the one hook that this thing has is that in this post-apocalyptic era, the one main character that we follow has all these rules for surviving a zombie apocalypse. So you heard one of them from Dr. Head at the beginning, which was double tap. You know, don't just shoot the zombie once. You got to shoot him twice. Yeah, never go to the bathrooms are a big deal. There's all kinds of them, right? So, I don't know. I was bored off my ass by the time it was all over just because I'm like, this is not what I remember. So, Dr. Head, what did you think?
Well, I didn't watch it recently because I've always liked the movie. I've seen it a couple times and I like it. I still do. I like the rules aspect of it. It is a comedy with horror elements. You know, it never really strays from its roots, and I do like that. I like Woody Harrelson's character just trying to keep distance with everybody. Like, I don't really want to get to know you. I just want to get my Twinkies. You know, that's all I want to get. I like Emma Stone. She's just a great actor. Mm-hmm. Anyway, she's just really brilliant. But yeah, I just thought it was fun. You know, I like Bill Murray. Sad to see what happened to the character, but he just handles it with his Bill Murray charm and aplomb. And well, that's bad. You know, kind of disarming. Right. You know, I just think it's still fun. The double tap, the sequel, is less successful. It's still fun, but I think that it didn't really do a whole lot. Because this is
some old stuff.
Yeah, this is and going into this world, having the rules helps you understand the world building really quickly. Like, this is how you live, and that's what you're focusing on. And so I really like being thrust into that because it was a really fresh take, you know, like Shaun of the Dead, you know, kind of the comedy horror. So yeah, I still think it's fun.
What about you, Professor Feather?
zombies of the unshambling kind. You know, very kinetic and forceful.
And running through the title.
I thought that was interesting for about 3 minutes.
To the last credit that came crashing through.
From there on, it's a blur.
Hey, those parts.
I did not like the movie.
What about you, Dr. Tarr?
It was fun. First time I saw it, it was fun. I liked it.
What about the second time you saw it?
Nope. Got bored.
Yeah,
but the Bill Murray thing when he was dying though, and the other guy goes and starts laughing. He goes, "It's fucking Bill Murray."
and that's why I said that's probably the
best scene,
the best scene in the whole movie. You know, and that's sad that's the best scene in the whole movie. Because it had so much potential from that point. You know, but just
it was
live up to it. I don't. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say I'm not a real big Woody Harrelson fan anymore. I used to be, but I think he's kind of very one-dimensional. And I'm not real fond of that dimension anymore of him. And I don't know. You know, he's had parts that I like, but most generally he's been like this, you know, acidic, whatever that guy was on Cheers.
Woody?
Oh,
Woody.
Woody was
how ironic.
Woody. Well, he was super stupid on Cheers, so he played that really well. I would say if you want to see Woody Harrelson with some range, you got to see The White House Plumbers, which I think was on Max or something like that.
Yeah.
That's fun. That's a funny
and,
movie.
And Flint.
Oh, yeah, he's really good in Flint.
He was fantastic.
Yeah.
So was Courtney Love as well.
Yeah.
But no, that's why I said it. You know, I'm not totally knocking, you know, but I just didn't like the movie. I just thought it was boring. I thought it was a lot of zombie stuff. With almost nothing different about it. You know, a little bit of comedy here and there, but, you know, I'm personally, you know, I remember Woody Allen, you know, from his early days. Oh, this guy isn't Woody Allen, is he? I'm sorry.
Woody Harrelson is his name.
I was talking about Woody Jesse Harrelson. That's
Jesse Eisenberg.
Jesse talking about Jesse Eisenberg.
Yeah.
He reminds me of a young Woody Allen, which, you know, I find cliche.
Well, and it's not believable that Emma Stone would fall for him.
No.
Not at all.
She was my girlfriend way before that.
Not if you're the last man on earth.
And that's exactly the scenario I played.
I'll take Woody Harrelson over you.
And he's dead.
I'll fuck Bill Murray's corpse. Right.
I saw Necromantic. I know how to do safe sex. Give me that pipe, goddammit.
Give me that stiff.
That's right.
Well, what does he say his name is? Not Bill Murray. He says Louis Meme or something like that. Or Louis Meme.
Louis Meme.
And then, so spoiler alert, if you haven't seen the movie, he's in it briefly because he survives by dressing up as a zombie in his mansion. And then
who figured if you just put makeup on, you could go out there?
But then, you know, somebody doesn't know this and they see him talking to three of the other characters and somebody comes in and blows his head off. And that's the end of
Bill Murray. Well, he goes in, doesn't he? He goes in to
kind of scare
him.
The movie theater.
To scare him.
Scares him, and they shoot him, right.
They shoot him, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, that was unfortunate. Or maybe in hindsight, that wasn't the best thing, or best greeting, or what it was.
Yeah.
It was, but it's so perfectly droll.
Yes.
But when it explains how he found this out, and he's all like, oh, yeah, we're out playing golf, and it's just
like, yeah, that's what I said. You know, we could talk more about just that one scene than the whole rest of the movie.
Well, they've got even these kind of
would have kept that level. Yeah,
they've got all these really lame kind of just kind of through things like the Twinkie search, you know.
And which I went, oh Jesus.
Yeah, and they find the snowballs early on, and he's all pissed off because they're snowballs and not Twinkies. And I like the fact that they call, you don't know anybody's name. You know, they're all called by where the city they came from.
Cities or
yeah. So you got Woody Harrelson was Tallahassee. Jesse Eisenberg was Columbus, which that figures. He's from Ohio. And then Abigail Breslin was the younger girl, Little Rock. And then Emma Stone was Wichita. And then Amber Heard was in there. And
her she was shitting on that guy's bed, right? I think
in room 406, because that's what her character name is, 406. she's at the beginning because that's who Jesse Eisenberg is in love with, and then she comes over as a zombie, and that's when he first understands that there's a zombie apocalypse.
Right, and he kills her with the toilet. I think the commode, the lid on the toilet. Yep. I think, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Nice, fuck, great,
perfect.
And he yells, "This is where you should shit."
Did he yell that? Really?
No.
It could be.
That's the Johnny Depp joke.
It's the Johnny Depp joke. Johnny Depp claimed that she shit on his bed was one of his claims.
I might have missed that part because I was playing
without his request.
I was playing Tetris on my phone.
Yeah, was it the zombie version?
Yes.
Yeah, I had made sure it was the zombie version in homage to me watching this movie at the same time.
It's called Tetris.
The whole thing is they're trying to get
just
to
this. One block.
Yeah. They're trying to get to an amusement
park. And a white
park.
Block beneath. Yeah.
Right?
What?
They're trying to get to an amusement park. At least, what is it? Little Rock and Wichita. And then Little Rock and Wichita keep screwing over, you know, Tallahassee and Columbus, you know, more than one time. And so they follow them all the way to where that's how I think it gets Zombie Land or whatever is because they're going to an amusement park.
That's about it. Who went to visit the amusement park?
The little one.
Yeah. Oh. Little Rock.
Yeah.
Okay.
Little Rock.
Okay. Sure.
Yeah. I mean, cotton candy. Come on.
Yeah.
You know, zombies don't want that shit.
No. And it lasts forever too.
Mom,
so.
Now we know what.
Open
now
up
we
a
know
French what, restaurant with just nothing but calves' brains; they'll be fine.
I knew they were French. French fuck calves.
Zombie.
French fuck calves.
There was a great zombie movie called The Horde. Right, great French zombie movie. Anyway.
What else about this movie did anybody like?
That's it. I think we're done.
They ran through the titles.
Yeah, the titles were great.
First time I ever saw that, and I thought that was kind of cool.
Well, I thought I still enjoy it. You know, I understand all your points. I still understand. Yeah. I appreciate all your points. I have to be in the mood to watch it. You know, I'm rarely in the mood for this movie. I've seen it. Yeah. I get it. And if it were on, I probably would probably look for something else other. Yeah. You know. But if I'm in the mood for it, okay, that's fine. You know.
Well, I've also seen Double Tap, the sequel, Zombieland Double Tap, which I watched that probably like 6 months ago, and I liked it then too. You know, so I don't know if it's better or if I was just again.
It's okay the first time you see them. I mean, they're fun. Yeah. It's kind of funny. It's
very similar vein, and you know,
nothing you haven't seen before.
Yeah,
they're not make me angry bad.
No.
They're just like,
yeah. It's just like
that's probably true. Yeah,
it's
unlike the 98 Godzilla movie.
It's kind of kooky. You know, it's escapist. It's silly. With
heavier trip.
Yeah, you know, hey, that would be awesome. We get Emma Stone in some black metal makeup. That would be awesome. I'd actually kind of like to see that.
That's Angel.
That's right. But Emma Stone, if we're going to talk about her performance, she's a wonderful actor. I actually, as much as I enjoy her company as my old girlfriend, she mentally, was amazing in Cruella, which I know some of you have not seen, or maybe none of you have seen.
Is that the character you fantasize with?
No. Cruella. Cruella's amazing. And then I saw the brand new one she's in with Kristen? Oh, I forget her name. Bugonia. It's like a science fiction.
Oh, it's where someone traps her thinking that she's an alien? I haven't seen it, so I don't. I could.
Yeah, science fiction horror. The guy who does it, I forget. Anyway, she was in Bring It On.
I know who. I can see.
Yeah, but he's lost like a ton of weight. He was in that cowboy movie that was kind of controversial like a couple years ago.
Jesse been in all kinds of stuff. Jesse Plemons.
Yeah, but he's lost a ton of weight. It took me like, oh my god, he's lost. Yeah,
yeah. They can't call him. They can't call him Fat Damon anymore. Because he looks like Matt Damon.
I didn't know that they call him. How terrible.
It is terrible.
But Damon. The performances are amazing, but it is a fucking brutal, bleak, nihilistic, depressing movie. It was listed as a comedy in Prime. They said dark comedy, sci-fi. I'm like, well, great. There were a couple moments of absurdity where I could see, oh, that's kind of wry. But if it's dark comedy, it's the blackest fucking dark comedy I've ever seen. Because it is a hard, like, depressing movie, and so there you go. But performances are
Bologna amazing. Or whatever it's called.
Bologna, right? Bologna. Bologna.
Ah, baloney.
Yeah, she's cool. She was a good Mary Jane in the Amazing Spider-Man. Yeah. Those two. So she was cool.
Yeah, Mary Jane was the other. Yeah, Jesse's wife was the other Mary Jane in the other Spider-Man movie. See, they're all connected.
By webs.
Yeah, like the Todd McFarlane Spider-Mans.
Yeah. That's good. Jesse, I love Jesse Plemons.
Take my spider shot.
Yeah, he's amazing.
He's a...
Who?
Jesse Plemons. He was in Breaking Bad. He was the guy who enslaves Jesse, the character Jesse. I don't know if you watched Breaking Bad or not, but
I never watched it.
He's terrifying.
Watched a couple first episodes, but that's it.
I think I know who you're talking about.
He plays a terrifying character in that. Just the way his whole setup is just very menacing and very quietly menacing and just weird and warped. But he was the first time I saw him was in a sitcom that didn't really make it, and it was about these construction guys, and he was their apprentice, and he was just not very bright, and he was super funny, but they kept stapling him to the garage doors whenever they would do it. So they would staple all of his clothes so he couldn't get down, and so he'd just be hanging there, and you know, it's pretty funny. But and then he was in Fargo.
So you're into that bullying humor, huh?
Yeah. Well, it was because it was him,
Stephen King High,
and it was J.B. Smoove was in it too. So J.B. Smoove's always funny.
So if it was Don Knotts, you wouldn't care. No, not funny.
Funny, not funny. That's a new game. Funny, not funny.
Yeah. He's in Fargo, one of the seasons of Fargo, and that's where he met his wife, Kirsten Dunst.
So, that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good one. That's got Jeffrey Donovan is in that season.
Fargo's great.
Oh, those seasons, all of them are really good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Noah Wiley, is that the guy that runs that show?
Yeah.
Super good. So let's, Professor Feather, what have you been watching? Enough Zombieland. It was going to be Pumpkinhead, and then I switched to Zombieland. So I'm going to say, watch this, not that.
Why'd you do that, Ed Harley?
Yeah, watch Pumpkinland, not Zombieland.
that's where the Pumpkinhead movies grow, in Pumpkinland.
What have you been watching, Professor Feather?
I just watched 3/4 of a movie. And then I stopped.
Zombieland?
No, it's called Alien Rubicon. And the picture they show is like kind of an alien creature. But then when you get to actually watching the movie.
Some more about the Rubicon?
It's a very low budget movie.
Uh-huh.
Some decent special effects with this sphere that kind of appears over the East River and then proceeds to has encounters, blows everything out of the water, then just starts making a beeline through the city. Buildings just going everywhere. Some nice, actually some good, this is where all the fucking budget went, you know, with all this stuff. Most of the movie are this small group of people standing around talking about what they're going to do, you know, and they're the most imbecilic people that you've ever come across. almost to every one of them. And so it becomes a pretty much a talking head movie with a bit of action, but not much. It involves the president of the United States making all these decisions and, you know, telling him. But there's only like two people with him. You know, it's like, yeah, we don't have a budget to have like
this week on Sci-Fi.
The real really would be, you know.
Yeah. Where's my entourage?
I never got to see The Alien yet. I'm going to go back. It's still in my queue. I will pick it right back up there to see if I actually see the alien in the last, you know, quarter of the movie. But
multiple spheres start to appear, right? All around the world?
I think so.
Yeah, because they're in that like control room. And they're like, oh, it's an invasion. That's about as far as I got.
Yeah, that thing has
Chidag in the earth. Yeah.
That's where I was. But I would like to go and see if it, you know, gets any farther in there. It's if you actually see the aliens or what happens with that. So, but it's not
just menacing spheres.
Just not very good. Even, you know, even at low budget, you know, the low budgetness does not make it bad. It's the writing. It makes it bad.
And the acting. And Tubi has a whole bunch of movies that are like super low budget. They're like Cyclops movies, but without any of the fun.
And
I was watching. My mom's going like, "Wow, I used that same special effect," or like, "I know what you're doing here." Like it was that. I mean, it was the audio problems were bad. I think my movies actually looked better in a lot of ways. And I'm like, "How the fuck did you get on Tubi?" You know? It was just terrible. But I admired them. I said, look, man, hey, you did a movie. That's great. Good for you. You know, but they were truly, truly terrible.
Oh, yeah.
Because they weren't like leaning into any. They weren't trying to be. They were trying to be serious or trying to be funny. I couldn't tell. It was just, you know, like lean one way or another. But yeah. So I've been watching this. I saw this movie called Begonia. And what about you, Midnight Gadfly? What have you been watching?
I just watched
Us When We Sleep.
I think it was The Agency, which is I think it's an Apple TV because I got Apple TV free for 3 months, and it's Fassbender, Michael Fassbender or whatever.
Yeah,
it's him just being a CIA operative, you know, that has been in the field for years, and they've just brought him back, and now he's, you know, kind of running different people, and it shows how the handlers work and how the people that are in the field have to work and how they train them and figure out if they can even do stuff, you know, so there's a new agent that they're training, and then there's an old one, and they put her in this mission where she has to get chosen as one of the research assistants to go to Iran. And so they're like, it's up to you to do it. If you don't get chosen, you're done. You're not with us anymore. You're done. You're not an agent, you know. So she does all this devious shit, man, to get all of the other people eliminated from this. And it's pretty crazy how all of that stuff works. And then there's also this kind of duality of what there's a psychiatrist that's looking at Fassbender, and Fassbender's acting, you know, like a person who's just been brought in from a different life, you know, for 8 years, and now has to return to his life, and so they're kind of watching him because they're not sure that he's going to do it. So it's a lot of good intrigue. I think it's very well paced. It's not like super like actiony. You know, there are action parts, but it's more just kind of spycraft kind of thing.
Much like Spooks. Oh, I'm sorry. MI5.
Yeah, no, it's.
Oh, I'm sorry. Spooks?
Spooks.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. MI5?
Yeah. It's now back to Spooks.
Have you ever watch that?
Yeah.
It's in your list.
Yep.
One time you'll see it, it'll say MI5.
Yeah.
The next time you see it, it says Spooks.
Right. Yeah, Spooks was what it was in England. And then when they brought it over here years ago, I watched it, and it was MI5.
Yeah.
And then they've just recently changed it back to Spooks here.
Right. Right.
And I think it was just because there was something wrong with the term Spooks. It was, you know, they were thinking it, you know, it would have racial.
But now it's all bets are off now.
Yeah, they don't care. See ya.
No.
Yes, they thought it was just too scary.
Yeah, The Agency. And I also watched Bad Monkey, which Professor Feather would not like that show because it's Oh shit, what's his name? I can't even think of who it is. Real tall guy.
Okay.
Abraham Lincoln?
King Kong.
King Kong. I go with King Kong.
Oh man.
Kong Love Bang.
Konga.
Yeah, it's Vince Vaughn.
Konga.
Vince Vaughn.
Vince Vaughn.
Yeah, and it takes place in like Key West, you know. So he's like a cop in Key West. And it's got all this kind of just weird stuff that goes on. It's pretty good.
I like Vince Vaughn.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't I like it?
I thought you didn't like Vince Vaughn.
Oh, no, I like Vince Vaughn.
Oh, yeah. Well, then
I just
like
don't like him in some roles.
Right. You'll like this because he's very, like, kind of, I don't know, unflappable. And is he talks constantly. You know what I mean? Like, and everybody he talks to, he's just got all this kind of weird stuff he's just thinking about and talking about. But then when he has to be, like, a cop, he's really good at it, you know? Yeah, it's a lot of fun. You know, I love it's winter out, so the warm setting is very nice to watch.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's only like 10 episodes or whatever. Again, it's on Apple TV. So.
And Miami Vice in his queue also.
Yeah. I think what I'm going to do is start rotating the services. I'm going to get one for a month, exhaust all the shows, and then cancel it and get another one for a month.
They're making it more difficult. Like they have to, like Netflix, I think, will make you wait longer before you can like sign back in.
You have to wait. Yeah.
Yeah. If you cancel out after a month. Yeah. They block you for several months or something. That's what I hear. I don't know if it's true or not.
It's going to take that.
Which isn't bad because you should let it build up anyway.
Right. Yeah. They go and they had a lot of really good original content. Now that they kind of been on, and I told Mrs. Head, like, hey, let's just cut this. Let's cut Netflix. We're not watching it. We'll finish up Sandman and we'll just be done, you know?
Yeah.
Come back to it later.
Yeah.
That's kind of like what we do. We just rotate through them. Change them up, you know, if you got a couple.
The thing I would recommend that's a TV show that's on Prime is, if you haven't seen it, is Penny Dreadful.
Mm. Yeah. Yes.
Really?
Yeah. I saw that a long time ago.
It's been a while for me, too.
Yeah, I'd like to see it again.
For a while. Yeah.
Yeah, it's on.
Yeah, a different way of seeing. Yeah. It was kind of cool.
Yeah, I thought it was good.
So, what about you, Dr. Tyre? What have you been watching?
Hi. Just got a 4K restoration Blu-ray of Planet of the Vampires.
Oh
very, it's really cool. Yeah. Oh, it's
I bet it's gorgeous.
It is. And it's like the original, they have like, obviously, they have the original Italian version, which I highly recommend because it's subtitled, but the dialogue is different enough that warrants watching. Yeah, I like the emphasis that it was more of an emphasis. They kind of suggest, that's a bad word, but they suggest, they set it up that they're not human to begin with. You know what I mean? At the end of the movie that they stumble upon Earth, but they like just their mannerism, the dialogue, how, you know, like in our custom, on our planet, you know, it was just weird how they said stuff, you know, suggesting that they're not Earth people, I guess. But that was just me.
Aliens.
Yes, saying that scene where they come up out of the grave, holy fuck, that is so cool. That is one of the coolest scenes ever. It was pretty amazing. That, talk about a blending of science fiction and horror right there. That was just cool. And just the alien, just how cheap the movie was. I guess it was apparently listed at $200,000, but they're saying it's probably way under that of what they actually, being in Italy and all that. Yeah, it was just interesting. It was good, but yes, very good. I recommend it if you.
Yeah, I love that movie. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and isn't it true that Italian movies, they never record sound live? It's always. Overdub.
It's always ADR.
They have a
very particular sound to them because of that dubbing.
Yep.
You can, nothing sounds natural at all.
Ever since World War II, you know, that's when, you know, they got into it, and then American cinema companies squashed them to a degree so that they would have to dub everything. didn't give him the, you know, didn't help him with all the sound equipment and all that. Yeah, here's a camera, no sound equipment. So they, you know, they made do. But then it became a style, I think, you know. And
it did.
The way that
it's very
sounds so much differently, you know, with that that dubbed, you know, Italian voice as a, even opposed to the.
Then and their studios dubbed all the Japanese stuff for us for TV. So win-win.
Yeah, I also just rewatched Burn After Reading because it's on Prime. I when I first saw it, I was like, oh, it's okay, you know. But the more I watch it, more times it, the funnier it gets. You know what I mean? And
yeah. Yeah.
George Clooney is hilarious in that, you know, when he's like eating food and he's like, I've got anaphylactic, you know, reflux. And what's his face?
Brad Pitt.
Brad Pitt is great. Yeah.
He's great in it, man. Yeah, he's great.
Oh, cool.
and Frances McDormand.
Yeah, she's always great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And John Malkovich is the one. He goes,
did this movie?
The Coen Brothers, yeah. Yeah, it's really good. The
yeah, I think it is. I've seen it. I mean, I think only I've seen it twice.
Tilda Swinton,
you know, so far, and I really do. Yeah, I really, really like it.
I love how they build up that whole thing where George Clooney is building this thing, and you think he's building like some sort of a torture device or whatever, and he gets all excited to show the one woman it, and it's just like this thing that a woman straddles, and he pushes on it, and the dildo comes up out of the bottom of it, so it's a sex machine, and he's like all excited. He's like, right? What do you think? This is pretty cool, huh?
It's going to be a big seller, right?
Yeah. But anyway, that was pretty good. Anything else that you watched, Dr. Head?
I've been watching season 2 of Westworld again. Because I had forgotten most of what had happened.
Yeah.
And because it is a very complex show.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
I'm really enjoying on the second viewing much. I mean, I'm getting more. Like, oh. Because there's, like, do you have different timelines? You have different realities?
Yeah.
And you don't. And then yes, then reality within reality. You know, okay, whose point of view is the story really being told from? You know, with past memories and you know all yeah. kinds of things. So it's a really delightful, if sometimes hard to follow, story. But I absolutely love it. I think it's really well written and performances are great. So Westworld. Give it a try.
I love it because the confusing part came because you were seeing the same characters at different ages, but the robots or the androids, they don't age. So you don't know what time is this later? Is this sooner? You know, and you don't really know that the man in black, you know, is, you know, two different characters, you know. We're watching him in two different timelines, and they're very different. Yeah. Tandy Newton is great, you know. And then who's the poor cowboy who keeps getting killed every time in every timeline? No matter what, he gets killed. Marsden.
Yeah.
Marsden. That's his.
Yeah.
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 He's Liz Lemon's boyfriend.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. Beans.
Yeah, great series though.
The Beans, yes, it is. I have to agree. I can't watch it right now. I don't, you know, have access to it. I really like it. I'd probably rewatch that if I could. Yeah, I've been watching. I have been kind of binge watching the old series Homicide: Life on the Streets.
Yeah, I remember you saying
that. I've been watching that. I'm almost done with there's 7 seasons. And I think I'm on season 6, almost through season 6. That's an up and down show, you know. I remember when it came out first, very cutting edge at the time. And also very annoying at the time because it has that emo music in the end that you just hate. You know, you see, get that fucking music out of here.
Terrible.
You know? I don't want to hear that shit. I don't play anything if you got to play that.
That's Barry Levinson. Barry Levinson, notoriously sappy music choices
for
his movies and stuff. It's a
great
director, but, you know, not, you know, sometimes his music is bad. Cool.
But, yeah, so I've been watching that.
All right, then. That was more interesting than Zombieland.
I have to agree.
So who the fuck picked that and get them off the show?
Yeah. Jerry. Why are you letting these idiots in?
Yeah. I told you, Pumpkin Land.
That's right. Pumpkin Land. That's right, Jerry.
Jerry's List Dexic.
Well, we'll do Pumpkinhead next time. Are we doing just the one Pumpkinhead movie or the entire or the quadrilogy?
I don't know if they have all of them. I don't even know if I've seen the other two.
There are three more. There are four total.
Not to be confused with Shrunken Heads.
Yeah. Is the first one available?
I think it was on Prime, yeah. But who knows? You know,
well, let's just
first
do that
one's
one,
the
then.
Best one. If you've seen the first one, you've seen them all.
Well, I'm not choosing for the next one, so it's the choices are Dr.
Head. Your next time around.
Okay, that's fine. Right. Yeah, if it's still there, that's cool.
So it would be,
it's still there.
Professor Feather and myself, then?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, you guys want to watch me take a dump? Say!
Experiencing
and twice you're playing with it
as you're standing there.
Yeah,
disco boy
doing the draft.
Speaking
Take
of disco
it, both loads.
Disco boys, you can find Tar and Feather on the internet in several places.
Hey!
And Unsane Radio is at unsaneradio@gmail.com. Flood us.
That's what she
Heavy
said.
Metal Horror Podcast on the Facebooks. Heavy Metal Horror Podcast on the YouTubes. Montag Lewis. Heavy Metal Horror.
Not horror.
We freaks.
Oh, yeah.
Captain Crunch is zoning out there.
Oh, man. Fuck, fucking high. I'm like a potato right now. I am baked.
Another podcast. Now,
podcast. I mean, it's like 5 o'clock. I've been smoking heavily for 5 hours now. It's catching up with me.
It's a sad podcast when I'm the soberest person here.
Well, then you gotta not be so sober next time.
No, I got shit to do, man. And a liver to preserve.
There we go.
I can bring some, you know, I got lots of carts, edibles.
Oh, yeah, well, I had an edible this morning, but that was...
I've noticed my tolerance has gone up quite a bit.
Yeah.
But I did find some really good full-spectrum edibles that helped me sleep.
Yeah.
And I slept 6.5 hours one night, a couple nights ago, last week. I have not slept 6.5 hours, like, at one time.
Yeah.
In probably 25 years.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. I was like, fuck, is this what it's like to have energy? Oh, my God. Yeah. The rest? Yeah. Oh, that was amazing. I'm like, I'm going to go ahead and get 100 bags of this shit. Because I usually take 10 milligrams, but although my tolerance is up now, I'm usually getting close to 15, 20. But I took a piece and a half. I thought I was taking 15, half a piece. Anyway, I took 30 milligrams, which is usually double my normal dose, and I fucking knocked out. It was beautiful. Yeah. For one brief shining moment. I slept the whole night through.
The Midnight Gadfly is going to go dig up Paul Lind and turn him into a zombie. And we'll call him Zombie Lind.
Just put me in the center square.
Oh, that's pretty scary right there.
Hollywood Cemetery Squares.
Best Paul Lind. Best Paul Lind rancer on Hollywood Squares was, why do you pound your meat? It's like, because you're lonely or something like that. Why do you pound meat? Yes. I'm like, oh my God. Yeah, the Squares censor that out.
There you have it. Our Paul Lind tribute.
Oh my God, what's the other guy that was on the game shows all the time that was kind of had the weird voice and he would do like
Charles Nelson Reilly?
Charles Nelson Reilly. Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to see
Lindsville.
Yeah. I'm going to dig him up and turn him into a zombie.
Nice.
And those two zombies together would be
great.
Oh, that'd
be awesome.
Yeah.
Would be the most annoying zombies ever.
That would be awesome.
The Lind Reilly show. The Reilly Lind show.
What was the one guy in the late 50s, early 60s? Wally Cox.
Wally Cox, yeah. He was like Underdog or something, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah. He did the voice for Underdog?
And he did the voice for Underdog, didn't
he? It's kind of like a Don Knotts thing.
Underdog is here.
Yeah. That was him, wasn't it?
Are we still recording?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sweet. A true fade fucker, all of us.
Yeah, Wally Cox.
We're just padding this episode.
Wally Cox.
He was Mr. Peepers and the voice of Underdog.
Yes. And the voice of Underdog. Yeah.
He's close friends with Marlon Brando.
I like Underdog. I used to love watching Underdog.
Really?
As we talked about on our recent episode of Unsane Radio.
That's why so many kids just went on drugs. It's because of Underdog. Take the little pill.
Pill, man. Super energy pill.
Yeah.
I just wanted that fucking ring, man. Yeah. Yes, I want a super energy pill. I can fly. You kidding me?
We never saw him go to his dealer either.
That's right. Yeah, I think it was probably Purebred.
But he always had a pill.
That's why everyone wanted him. We Underdog. Yeah. We want Poly Purebred. That was the name of the pill.
That was
you
the
want
name
the bread,
the
and it's
That's
pure.
Right. Pure bread.
Who was the villain?
Got the good stuff.
Snidely would know.
Simon. Who was the villain?
It's Simon. Underdog.
Oh.
The villain was Simon.
Simon.
Legree. No, I don't know.
Simon Says.
You know, yeah.
Simon and Schuster.
Simon and Carbuncle?
Oh, the evil duo. Yeah.
Simon and Carbuncle. There's
that's
a
my favorite one, Simon and Carbuncle.
Can you pop that?
The sound of flatulence. That was their biggest.
Breaking silence.
The sound of breaking silence.
Simon Bar Sinister.
The sound.
That's it. Simon Bar Sinister. Yeah. That's right.
Simon Bar Sinister.
Yeah. Yes. Or the other one was Riff Raff.
Oh yeah,
Riff Raff. And what was his buddy's name? His henchman. It was something stupid.
Oh,
Simon Bar Sinister and
I don't remember
his. It was some
long time since I've watched.
Oh him. Yeah, I haven't seen him in.
Yeah, I can picture him. I see him.
Yeah, you can the archive. I think you can get the whole collection on archive.
Can you?
I think so. I guess where
I'm
I
not
found
that
him.
Interested.
It's just nice to see him. There's a whole bunch of Hanna-Barbera stuff, you know.
Yeah. I would recommend if you've never seen them. Was it back in the 90s? I think it was, or maybe 80s. I think it was 80s. They redid Mighty Mouse, and it was Ralph Bakshi.
Oh. Yeah,
and they were whacked out, man. They were really fucked up.
They really were.
Oh, that's cool.
They're
you
crazy.
Know, I don't think I saw them.
Yeah, I'll see
or I did. Much like, I don't remember it. If it was from the 80s. There's a lot I don't remember from the 80s.
Yeah.
It's a running
my nose remembers.
Yeah.
The 80s had some weird stuff going on.
Pee Wee Cat.
Pee Wee Herman. Playhouse.
Yeah, it was great.
They had some weird cartoons.
But was that more 80s or was that 90s? Early 90s when I was on it. Late 80s, early 90s?
That could be early 90s.
I thought maybe it'd be early 90s.
Early 90s, I think, yeah.
For which one?
Pee-wee's Playhouse.
Pee-wee's Playhouse.
Oh, no, it was 80s.
Was it 80s? Late 80s.
Yeah. I was still living at home when it was on.
Or mid-80s, or early 80s, one of those.
Yeah, I remember it was on Saturdays.
It was on Saturdays or Sundays.
I think it's just before I got married that was on. So, 86? 87?
Okay, fans, 86. You can email us.
86.
Oh, there's the answer.
86?
So much 86. For engagement.
Yeah, 86.
Mid-80s.
Yeah, that was pretty fucking
right. I was right the second time.
That's right. Aren't we all?
86.
They're timeless because it's like I remember I had them and Finn loved them when we were when he was growing up, and then there's still people they're like, oh, I got my kids love watching those, you know, because like I have students who are older, you know, like in their 30s, and so they're like, oh yeah, I remember my parents watching, making me watch them, and now I'm watching them with my kids, and I'm like, that's awesome.
Yeah,
it keeps going.
Yeah, we're watching them again, going through the series, and just absolutely loving it,
making me watch them.
Yeah, it was so ahead of its time and so outside of the box and just nonconformist and just really wonderful. Yeah, but
it also kind of harkened back to those shows too, like with Soupy Sales and whatever, you know, or Camp Kangaroo and you know, because they have the little universe and these strange places they go, or Mister Rogers, you know, when he
yes, you're right, so very much so.
Are we talking?
I remember
Pee-wee's Playhouse.
Pee-wee.
That it was in kind of tradition, but much wackier, you know.
But I remember seeing ads in the back of magazines that you could send to Pee-wee, and he'd send you a big pair of granny panties. it was like this great big pair of panties.
Wow, that's awesome.
Well, you know, it what you have to admire tremendously is the prodigious production of that show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also the commitment of a lot of really good actors and people to it, you know, because everybody almost that was his characters became something else or was something and then became something even more.
Yeah.
Think about every one of them. I have it now. If I feel even a little bit low, I'll watch a Pee-wee Playhouse because that makes me feel good. Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
And, you know, puts me in that world, you know?
And you hope to hear the word of the day. So you can scream.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. And he just, you know, he just, I like that that was there, you know?
That's what was so funny about the movie, though. It was just, you just...
There was an immediacy.
If you went to see the movie,
like the viewer, like you knew. Proper Room, or like Sesame Street, it was breaking the fourth wall, and you were invited in this kooky world. It was like an acid trip. It's Sesame Street on acid, you know? And
he's a total innocent, though. He's
yeah,
a total innocent.
It was like, it was silly and fun and educational. It was every bit as fun for kids as adults. Like you said, Gadfly is a timeless because there's no age limit. Everyone can enjoy Pee-wee on some level.
Yep. No, I think that's absolutely true.
And that was a longer discussion than on Zombieland. So there it is. Going back to Zombieland.
I saw a clip of it was like a live performance, but they're doing the Miss Yvonne and Pee-wee talking on stage in front of an audience. But anyway, he does the thing where he puts the mirror on his shoe. And he's like trying to walk underneath her so he can look underneath her dress.
Yeah, it's great because with John Paragon, who was Jumbie, just passed away like a couple of years ago.
He
used to write for Elvira. I think they were all like in the Groundlings or something like that. I think that's the troupe that they were part of.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
But yeah, he and Elvira were like really good friends and writing partners for a very long time.
Oh, wonderful. I like her too, Cassandra Peterson. I mean, she just put the campiness, the silliness, the self-deprecation, and the obviously making fun of herself and showing off her cleavage and the whole sexy vampire thing. You know, she just kind of really
played it.
She did lean into it and it was an awful lot of fun. I think. You know, and I think she still does it, not too much anymore. She doesn't like wearing the Elvira get up because it's just so much. But I thought she just was delightful.
Yeah, we had S.
And she's still hot, by S, the way.
Yeah, she's beautiful, better now.
S. Apatha Merkerson, who went on to be big in SUV or SVU. The Law and Order.
Yeah, in Law and Order.
Yep. And then remember Phil Hartman? I forgot he was on there. Captain Carl.
Yeah.
Was it King of King of Cartoons?
King of Cartoons.
Right.
Lawrence Fishburne is Cowboy
Bill Hartman.
Kurt.
Who is he? Captain Carl.
Captain Carl.
Captain
yeah.
Carl. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, Lawrence Fishburne.
Yep.
Was Cowboy.
Yep.
Cowboy
Curtis.
Yep. Curtis. Yes. Yes.
And who was it? Who was the King of Cartoons later? Wasn't it? Didn't they change it to like?
Oh, I don't know. Did they?
Marshall. Like the guy that played Blackula.
Blackula.
Or something.
Blackula.
Yeah, he was King of Cartoons for the whole time.
Yeah, he was
wasn't
King of Cartoons. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, William Marshall. I think so.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd like to have met him and just to say, man, Mama Walde is the most badass vampire there ever was, man. I'm serious.
Oh, man. Yeah. He had all kinds of people on there. It was like Jimmy Smits was on there.
Yeah.
And Sandra Bernhard.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Wait, what? They've got somebody else's photo here. For Fabian. I think they have a wrong photo for this person. It's actually, oh, shit. What's the real actor's name? Anyway. It's great podcasting.
Yeah. We're all watching Gadfly look at his screen looking for pictures. We're riveted.
But, we call it podcasting au naturel.
Leslie Jordan was on.
We like it raw.
Steve James Homer.
All
right. I got to get going.
Yeah, Zombieland. There it is. Wrapping it up.
Wipe your feet when you leave.
No, that's right. No. Zombieland. Zombieland.